All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat because I forgot to do it last night. Queen B52 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Supergirl 21 is on. D9597 is on. Judy Anita is on. Patriot of the North is on. Snod Dodd. 311 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Those Jesus people is on. Mike Griffith is on. Gritterdom is on. The Picket Fence is on. Why Not Me is on. Oh, man, you guys are rolling. Snag Dog is on. Sunboot 45 is on. Neon Fish Puppy's on. Joanne's is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Dave Souders is on. KGP Co. is on. KA4 VMS is on. Stefan Toms is on. Sheila K. is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Let me see here. Key Lime 13 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Let me see. Confederate 1 is on. Day Now 59 is on. LEG 1963 is on. Trish the Dish 85 is on. JD Wool is on. All right. Lisa Kenzer. 1960 is on. All right. Mickey 44 is on. Conservative Waffles on. TJT1 is on. Todd Stuff is on. Luann 5 is on. Coco DeMinky is on. P. Potter 1115 is on. Let me see. Truth Over 2 is on. Lady Vu is on. C. Stuff is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Black Horse is on. Horror Hotel is on. Uncle Wally is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. One Fast Rob is on. Appreciate each and every one of you guys. Love you big time. Just a couple of things. We'll just want really one thing. And you're like, Tom, get past Joy Reid. It's too fun to make fun of Joy Reid. This is, you have to enjoy your life. You have to enjoy it when you're winning. And we're winning big time right now. I see Peg McGroin is on. McGroin Nation is on. Love you guys. Appreciate you. But listen, Joy Reid's off and canceled. That's great. And I marvel, and Aaron was talking about it, these her actual, you know, stats of how many people are watching her show, how many viewers were watching her show in the key demographic, 59,000. You're like, Tom, you only get up to like 1,000, 1,100. I know, but I don't get paid $20 million a year for one thing, but I'm just saying, 59,000 on not national TV, MSNBC, international TV. In the low end, the very low end of a Fox News program would be 300,000. She has 50. I mean, you're talking about Fox News at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday infomercial. They have 300,000 people watching. The prime time, 9 o'clock at night on MSNBC, 9 o'clock Eastern, 59,000 people are watching you. Jen Psaki, who's taking her place. Why would you replace Joy Reid with Jen Psaki? Because Jen Psaki gets 65,000. In the key demographic, 65,000. Rachel Maddow, who makes $30 million a year. That's not an exaggeration. I don't know what Joy Reid makes. She makes millions, but I don't know what it is. But I know exactly what Rachel Maddow makes. She makes $30 million a year, and she gets $144,000. If you go on, I mean, if I was to venture to guess right now, maybe I'll just do it. If I were to go over to Twitter right now and go on to my account, let me see here. Yeah, let me see. He's not broadcast. Well, maybe I'll get it at the top. No, not broadcast right now, but all the time. If you go over, you go over to Alex Jones. Alex, $3 million a year for Joy Reid. Thanks, Aaron. So you go to, right now, Alex Jones. I can't believe you asked this because this freaking iPad. I mean, right now I hate Apple. You know, it's just so much better on my computer. But anyway, I mean, I can't say it because I mean I like the iPad. But anyway, stupid iPad doesn't work the way I want it to when I want it to work. But anyway, it just does. It handles Twitter differently than my computer does. But anyway, on my computer right now, I guarantee you, if I went on to my right and clicked on to, let me just do it. There we go. Let me just click right over here to Alex Jones. There we go. Alex Jones. All right. Here he is. Alex Jones. So, you know, nobody. There he is. Alex Jones right now. He's actually, I'm not trying to take away from Alex viewer. I mean, I listened to this specific show myself today, but it's not actually live. It's a rebroadcast from his 11 o'clock show, but they put it on they have the live thing underneath it because I guess they do like, I don't know why they do it. But anyway, so we're right now, and this is a replay. 529,000 people are watching just on Twitter. And Joy Reid, international TV, MSNBC prime time. Everybody knows this is a repeat of Alex Jones's show, and there's still 529 people watching it. 529,000 people watching it live just on Twitter. That's not his other accounts. And he goes on radios, on TV, and everything else. He has ends up with somewhere between 50 and 100 million views a day. And you wonder why they try to destroy Alex Jones? Why they try to destroy Dan Bongino and try to destroy everybody else who has a conservative podcast? Everybody, even smaller ones like mine, they try to destroy us too. It's because they actually cannot compete. Now I got to get back over to the chat. Oh, yeah, right there I am. I'm getting better. Thank you, Aaron. Give me a little applause over there. All right, let's hop right into this now. Mike Davis tweet. So the FBI is looking into James Comey off the books honeypot operation targeting 2016 Trump campaign. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I keep asking for the Trump administration to do things. I know they're not hearing me. I'm just saying, I keep asking for them to do stuff. Like, don't let 2016 go. You've got to litigate the 2020 election that was stolen from Donald Trump. That all has to be litigated. The election fraud. Donald Trump is setting up an election fraud task force. And when you actually have people who are unbiased, not Bill Barr, who is a globalist leftist bourgeois elitist who wanted Donald Trump to lose, votes Democrat every time but calls himself a Republican so he can be a mole. But anyway, I wanted that to be looked into. The election, they're doing it. They have a task force. They actually have real investigators looking into. Bill Barr says there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud that would have overturned the election in 2020. And they found out he didn't investigate one thing. And not only did he not investigate one thing, when people were trying to investigate, he actually shut the investigation down, coming from being the Attorney General, of course, of the Department of Justice. So now when you actually have real investigators look into these voting machines, real investigators looking into these ballots with no signature verification, no ID requirements, what's it really going to look like now? What's it? Now, of course, the mainstream media is not going to report it, but I hearken back to my Joy Reid numbers. Who cares if Alex Jones alone reports it? Alex Jones has more viewers than Megyn Kelly had at her height in Fox right now on his repeat. On the repeat. So what's the difference? We're all going to know. It's all going to get out. And we need to understand how the elections were stolen, because they actually were. But again, I digress. This is what we have to do. But otherwise, we are going to continue to be imprisoned. We're going to continue to be harassed. It's right out. It's a good Bible verse that always pops into my mind. His number is 3355. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they will harass you in the land where you dwell. You got to go in and clear it out. And we're going to do it all legally, lawfully. Proper indictments, no lies, no conjuring up of evidence like they do. Lying to the media and then using the media, which are, of course, are willing participants in the lie, and then using the media as evidence to get FISA warrants. We're not going to do any of those things. All we're going to do is go look into what James Comey did. Did James Comey run an illegal honeypot operation? That's illegal. It's illegal for him to honeypot United States citizens. That's what's called classic entrapment. It is an illegality to do so. So anyway, FBI looking to James Comey off the books. Honeypot operation targeting 2016 Trump campaign. Everybody knows what honeypotting is. Women are pretty much immune to it because women really can't be honeypotted. But gay men certainly can be, and heterosexual men certainly can be, because you send somebody sexually attractive to them, and then they will say just about anything, as we see James O'Keefe pulling off just about every day of the week. So that's what James Comey did this. James Comey sent attractive women to entice the Trump campaign to commit crimes. Listen to this. This is from Kerry Pickett at the Washington Times. This is Washington Times. Again, Washington Times has no more credibility than Gateway Pundit. Certainly way better than the Washington Post. I'm just saying that doesn't even matter anymore, but I'm just letting you know. Somewhat mainstream here, Washington Times. Not obviously right-leaning, but, and by right-leaning, that just means truth-leaning. Right-leaning just means truth-leaning. But it's from the Washington Times. New leadership of the FBI, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino. This was hoping Bongino would do. He hasn't doing it yet, obviously. New leadership of the FBI is starting an investigation into the origins of the agency's plan a decade ago, 10 years ago, to infiltrate the campaign of then-candidate Donald Trump using two female undercover honeypot agents. These are current, right now, FBI agents or government employees right now. Right now. The off-the-books. Aaron, do you hear that? Off-the-books investigation. Why would it be off the books? Hmm. Is that legal? No. It's not legal. They have to document every last thing they do because they have an oversight committee that looks into it. It's called the Judiciary Committee that looks into what they do. They're not allowed to have things off the books like a Fauci visit into the CIA, which was also off the books. The off-the-books investigation launched in 2015, again, Kerry Pickett's article from the Washington Times, by former FBI Director James Comey was revealed by an agency whistleblower in a protected disclosure to the House Judiciary Committee last year and first reported exclusively by the Washington Times in October. In the intelligence community, a honeypot commonly refers to an undercover operative, usually a woman, who feigns sexual romantic interest to obtain information from a target. According to the whistleblower, two female FBI undercover employees infiltrated Mr. Trump's 2016 campaign at high levels and were directed to act as honeypots while traveling with Mr. Trump and his campaign staff. So they infiltrated the Trump campaign with FBI agents. This is before the collusion hoax. So again, this is classic Stalinism. Investigating the man in search of a crime instead of investigating a crime in search of a suspect. All right, we're still on it. The Times has learned that the Bureau, now led by Director Cash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino, is looking for those once undercover employees who were previously under Mr. Comey's direction. The FBI declined to comment. What a shock. What a shock. The FBI's declined to comment. They should be commenting. And by the way, before I forget, where are the freaking Epstein files?
Yeah.
Why is this being slow walked? Listen, we all know Trump's on there. We know Trump had a friendship with Jeffrey Epstein for a brief period of time until Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago for his bad behavior. We know that. Can we please release the Epstein files? I'm not worried about if Trump was on Epstein's plane. I don't care as long as he didn't fly to the island, which he never did. That's already been proven. So why can't we release this? Why is this not being released? If they are protecting some Trump acolyte, this is Trump's downfall if he does it. You cannot protect anybody. You have to release it. I don't want to speculate on anybody's names because I really honestly have no idea what's on that list outside of some of what I've seen already. But they need to be releasing this now, Pam Bondi, now. Who's ever holding, I'm telling you, you are doing more damage. This is now starting to percolate. It's starting to simmer. Democrats can't use it against us because there's too many Democrats on the list. But you're going to turn your own Trump army against Trump. According to the whistleblower disclosure, which the Times reviewed, the investigation differed from Crossfire Hurricane. It was before Crossfire Hurricane. A later FBI counterintelligence operation that looked into never proved allegations that the campaign was colluding with Russia. The whistleblower said the early off-the-books probe was a criminal investigation targeting Mr. Trump and his staff. Okay, what was the crime they were investigating? This was before the collusion hoax. Collusion is not a crime anyway. But what was the crime they're investigating? So you just had James Comey unilaterally by himself in an off-the-books investigation sending in his own employees to honeypot Trump campaign staffers. For what? You would have to, when you are going to conduct an investigation at the FBI, you have to fill out a predicate investigation, basically request form. He didn't do any of those things. Mr. Trump launched his presidential campaign on June 16, 2015 at Trump Tower in New York City about a year before the FBI opened Crossfire Hurricane. This is between that then. The whistleblower, again, personally knew that Mr. Comey ordered an FBI investigation into Mr. Trump and that Mr. Comey personally directed it. The FBI director was personally directing an investigation. Never happens. According to the disclosure, the investigation did not appear to target a specific crime. Of course not. He was trying to find a crime. This is right out of the Gestapo. This is right out of the KGB. We are no different. Just so you know. I was watching this Gotti documentary, and I'm sitting there, the FBI versus Gotti. I don't really know who to root for. Which is worse? Who kills more people, the mafia or the FBI? the mafia or the federal government? Again, two heads of the same snake or lesser of two evils? The lesser of two evils, the mafia. Mafia kills a whole lot. Who would you rather have, Satan or a demon? So you got the mafia as a demon, then you got Satan itself, which is the federal government. Kill far more people. The investigation did not appear to target a specific crime, but was more of what agents would describe as a fishing expedition to find anything incriminating that could be used against Donald Trump. The whistleblower said the undercover operation was obscured from Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz. They hid it from the Inspector General. Another crime. Who investigated misconduct in the Bureau's probe of the Trump campaign. The case had no predicated foundation. Again, what did I just say? You have to fill out a predicate investigation request. In other words, there has to be something that you're investigating, not just going in and sending in attractive female FBI agents to try to entice Trump campaign officials to give you some sort of dirt on Donald Trump, which is, by the way, exactly what Brennan did with his bumps for the Crossfire Hurricane with George Papadopoulos and numerous others. To try to get people to talk, simply go up to George Papadopoulos and say, ever heard of like the Russians trying to dig up dirt on Hillary? And George Papadopoulos says, no, I've never heard of the Russians trying to dig up dirt on Hillary. Oh, we got him on tape saying, talking about Hillary and the Russians. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. There's nothing more to it than that. And that's what Comey's trying to do here. The case had no predicated foundation. So Comey personally directed the investigation without creating an official case file in Sentinel, which is their case file database, or any other FBI system, according to the whistleblower's disclosure. And now we're all hearing Eli Crane has put it out. No, not Eli Crane, the other FBI whistleblower. Looks like Eli Crane, bearded guy. They're putting out that the FBI has been, since Trump won the election, deleting mass files inside of the FBI. I hope Elon can find them. The FBI has multiple methods of protecting highly sensitive investigations, so you don't need to do what Comey did, which is personally direct the investigation without creating an official case file, because the official case file will be kept confidential in Sentinel or another FBI system. So there's plenty of other systems. The FBI has multiple methods of protecting highly sensitive investigations. So Comey did not have a legitimate reason not to officially create an official investigation file or have a file number. There's no file number, no case number, and no file at all. No case number, no file. No official predicate request for an investigation. And now, absolutely no written documented evidence outside of the whistleblower, unless somebody was stupid enough to write something down. And it hasn't been deleted since Trump took office. Additionally, the disclosure says the secret investigation may have indicated institutional bias. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, obviously, because I'm trying to think, Aaron, have you ever even heard of this ever happening before?
No.
Ever?
No.
I mean, I've been around 56 years, been following politics pretty closely. I've never seen anything like it. There's James' personal comment right now. Additionally, the disclosure says the secret investigation may have indicated institutional bias at the FBI against Mr. Trump, though it does not appear that any information against the investigation about this investigation was turned over to Trump's criminal defense counsels. Nobody actually turned. By the way, what's that called? Disclosure. It's mandated. So there's another law that they broke. You have to turn over all exculpatory materials to defense attorneys if it has anything in any way, shape, or form has anything to do with the case. The investigation was eventually closed because a major newspaper obtained a photograph of one of the undercovers and was about to publish it, but the FBI press office told the outlet the photograph was an FBI informant and would be killed. So they lie. Who's going to kill the FBI informant? Who's going to, you tell the paper, you got a picture of our FBI honeypot undercover, and if you release it, this person's going to be killed. Who would kill them exactly? Just bold-faced lies. That's what a disgusting human being this guy is. Just a repulsive human being. Would be killed if the photograph was publicly released. Like, you know, America all the time, a photograph gets released and people just get killed all the time. In fact, it was a photograph of the FBI undercover employee. The FBI whistleblower employee noted in the disclosure that one of the undercovers agreed to be transferred to the CIA. This is unbelievable. The party that you and I are not invited to. So she would not be available as a potential witness. The other undercover employee was rewarded for her activities through a promotion in the Bureau and is presently a high-level FBI executive in a major field office. She's going to be enjoying her next couple months as she is giving vast disclosures and depositions It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Because you know, she could either come in and agree with discovery, come in and give your deposition, or you know what? You're freaking fired. And then you'll be criminally prosecuted and you'll be forced to testify. The undercover employee was rewarded for activities through a promotion in the Bureau and is president of high-level executive major field office. The FBI whistleblower employee personally observed one or more employees in the FBI being directed to never discuss the operation with anyone ever. This was just what you want in America, isn't it? Which included talking with other people involved in the 2016 Trump campaign infiltration operation. Why would the FBI have a 2016 Trump campaign infiltration operation based on what predicate? There isn't any. There's no crimes. There's nothing. The FBI employee making this disclosure took this admonishment as a direct threat to the employees who received it. So former FBI director James Comey is being exposed. Let's look into some other corruptocrats, shall we? Michael Video. Adam Schiff has been a lying weasel for years. Here he is on Tucker Carlson still claiming that the people that broke into John Podesta's computer was Russians. Play for me.
You're on the Intel committee. Let me just ask you one final question. Can you look right into the camera and say, I know for a fact the government of Vladimir Putin was behind the hacks of John Podesta's email?
Absolutely. The government of Vladimir Putin was behind the hacks of our institution and the dumping of information.
Of John Podesta's email.
Not only in the United States,
email.
But also in Europe.
Okay, you're not, you know what, you're dodging.
And Tucker,
I know they did. John Podesta's emails, they hacked
those. And I think that Ronald Reagan will be rolling over
Ronald Reagan,
grave.
Fine, Ronald Reagan.
And you're carrying water for the Kremlin.
I'm not carrying water for the Kremlin. You're a sitting member of Congress on the Intel Committee, and you can't say they hacked.
You're going to have to move your shoulder to RT Russian television because
you know what?
This
That's
is perfect.
Just so
this is
beneath
placed.
Your office because it's so dumb and you're being duplicitous. I'm asking you, did they hack Podesta's emails? And you can't say it.
Sounds like that, Tucker.
You just said I was carrying. You said I was carrying water for Putin. That's pretty hilarious.
You know, when you essentially are an apologist for the Kremlin, that's what you're doing.
One last time, Congressman. Look into the camera and say they hacked John Podesta's emails. We know for a fact that Putin's government did that. You can't, and you know you can't, and you're hiding behind weasel words.
I just said that
they Russians, hacked John Podesta's
emails. Russians, I'm not going to be specific as to
because
emails.
You don't know it. That's why. All right. Done. One. You don't know it, and you're alleging it
Tucker,
without any evidence. And it's
you're ignoring the evidence because you don't care. The fact that it helped the Republican candidate is all you need to know, apparently.
That's totally false. I just think if you're going to make a serious allegation about an actual country with an actual government, you ought to know what you're talking about, and you don't.
I think that you ought to accept.
I got to go. I'm taking cash from Putin now. I'm on RT.
Republicans on the Intelligence Committee have seen for a fact.
If you could say it, you would, and you can't. And you know that.
If you're willing to be in denial about this because it suits a Republican-elect president.
Okay, whatever. You can blather on all you want, man, but I gave you a chance to state it clearly, and you wouldn't, which tells you everything you know. All right.
Or a president.
Okay.
Not very much, apparently.
I appreciate that, Congressman. And now I need to take a call from Vladimir Putin, so I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second and do this tease. Some of the electors who will
back to me. All right, so there you go. And again, I just use this as an example. If you have a man accused of rape, are you in favor of rape if you prove that he's innocent? So if does it make you pro-Russian to prove that Russians had nothing to do with the hack of the DNC and the hack of the Podesta emails? Because they didn't. They had nothing to do with that. They hacked it themselves. Or it was Julian Assange. It had nothing to do with the Russians. So if you say that the Russians didn't do it, which is simply the truth, that makes you pro-Russian. So telling the truth makes you pro-Russia? Or telling the truth about a crime makes you pro-crime? This is the exact game that they play all the time. The exact same game that they play. Is if you simply say the Russians didn't do it, oh, you should be on RTV then because you're pro-Russian. No, the Russians didn't do it. That's a fact. So you want me to lie and that makes me righteous? If I lie, that makes me anti-Russia? No, if I lie, that makes me just like Russian politicians. Unbelievable. Insurrection Barbie video. Until people are held accountable. Here was the CNN synopsis of the Russian collusion hoax. Play it for me.
As noted above, the special counsel did not find any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated mm-hmm. with the IRA, meaning the Russians, in its efforts, though the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals. So the Russians obviously actively tried to impede the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
the Mueller team indicted, many of them, not collude. And it is important. And it is, in fairness, what the president has been saying, that there was no, I know collusion is not a legal term, but this is the special counsel, in the words of the president's attorney general, backing up the president. And that is no small thing.
That is, this is where the White House and the president, and I think attorneys who, if his attorney should be happy, anyone who would be representing, if he was just a regular client, would be so thrilled with this report right now. This is a win for this president who, for now 2 years, has essentially been screaming there was no Russia collusion. He is backed up by Mueller. He is backed up. This line, again, that I find, and it's in quotes here, the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference.
And you're saying he's backed up? They make it pretty clear what he's backed up by in here. It says the special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, 230 orders for communication records, and almost 50 orders for authorizing the use of pen registers, 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and it interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. Yeah. So not only does he have the conclusion of this summary, he has all of that to back it up and point to everything.
Very, very, very specific statements by the special counsel, Robert Mueller.
For now, 2 years has essentially been screaming.
So there you go. Again, these people need to be held accountable. All of these people that falsely accused Donald Trump of collusion. So this is interesting here with this. Dana Bash, and you're like, Tom, this is old news. No, it's not. This is all going to be brought to light now. They're inventing. Now, I know the original story is not, it's about James Comey honeypot and Trump campaign. You don't think it's now going to drift into the collusion hoax that was also run by Comey? So all of this needs to be litigated. It's going to happen again. And I'm not going to give you the examples I always give, but if you don't take care of it, they're going to use the same tactics over and over again. But you know why? Because they work. They work. It works either to put people in prison. It works to destroy people through lawfare, because the actual punishment is the trial process itself, because you get bankrupt and they don't, because they have $37 trillion worth of debt. They can just print the money. You and I can't print money. We go to prison. They can print all the money they want and they get to live large on it. But you listen to Dana Bash. Russia obviously tried to impede the 2016 election. How? I'm just curious. She said the Russians actively tried to impede the 2016 election. That's a direct quote. How? They didn't. Oh, that makes me pro-Russian. They spent $200,000 on ads, on Facebook ads. That's it. And now we've heard over the last 10 years, the Russians actively, what does it mean to even impede an election? How do you impede an election? How many votes did the Russians take from Trump and give to Hillary, or take from Hillary and give to Trump? How did that work? Tell me, Dana, because you said, if it's me and I'm telling a story, I'm going to give you the statistical data, or I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. How did they impede? And again, what does it mean to impede? Actively tried to impede the election. How so? They spent $200,000, $100,000 on pro-Trump ads, $100,000 on pro-Hillary ads. That's it. That's it. They impeded the election. And again, the quote is, the evidence does not establish that Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form colluded with the Russians. That's it. Caitlin Collins had to say it. Dana Bash had to say it. Everybody on the CNN panel, they all had to say it. They all had to say it. And what's amazing is that people like Dana Bash, again, whose husband helped to orchestrate the Hunter Biden laptop hoax, and now her ex-husband now, how these people, again, it's almost like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Every single one of your prophecies ends up not being true. And yet somehow you still are a Mormon and you're still a Jehovah's Witness. Not one of the things that you've ever predicted ever comes true. Like a climate hoaxer, like Al Gore. Nothing you ever predicted ever has come true. Not one of your prognostications. When you're Dana Bash, you're Caitlin Collins. And every last thing you report on that the leftists tell you that Donald Trump is doing or not doing turns out not to be true, but yet you still report it fervently every time as if it's true. It's amazing to me how you could be so disingenuous. All right, CNN, pick from CNN Politics. How Trump's government-cutting moves risk exposing the CIA secrets. Oh my gosh. This is actually, it's very, very difficult to talk about this stuff because it's so stupid. It's so ridiculous. How are Trump's moves, this is like, COVID crushed the economy. Did COVID crush the economy, or the ridiculous fraudulent response to COVID? Is that what crushed the economy? And so Trump's moves are risking exposing CIA secrets. How would his moves expose CIA secrets? How? Look at the article. And on CNN's seventh floor, that's the higher ups, home to top leadership, some officers are also quietly discussing how mass firings and the buyouts already offered to staff risk creating a group of disgruntled former employees who might be motivated to commit treason, might be motivated to take what they know to a foreign intelligence service. Do you hear that, Aaron? So Trump's moves cause this? Trump's moves aren't causing somebody to commit treason. Their own decisions are causing them to commit treason. But CNN frames it as Trump's moves are doing it. Trump's moves have nothing to do with whether a CIA agent discloses information to a foreign entity. It's got nothing to do with it. Is Trump's moves putting a gun to their head and telling them to go disclose confidential information to a foreign intel source? No. Trump's just offering him a way Trump's offering him 8 months of free pay and benefits. That's it. That's all Trump is doing. And somehow CNN reports it. That's why CNN, again, their numbers are absolutely horrendous. Aaron was asking before the show, how in the world could they possibly even stay on air? Pharma money. All they are is an infomercial for pharma. That's all that CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all ABC, that's all they are. So Trump moves aren't doing it. Disingenuous, dishonest, corrupt people are threatening. This is on CNN. This is not from Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit's far more accurate than CNN. I'm just telling you. This is CNN. This is what CNN believes is actually palatable to the American citizenry. That CIA agents are threatening to go commit treason because of Trump's moves. How does Trump's moves cause somebody to commit treason? Obviously, they don't. Got to show you this one. Interesting story from Alex Jones today. Alex Jones video. Major scandal breaking. Apple iPhones now replace the word racist with Trump. And by the way, this has already been proven to be true. Play it for me.
Racist. 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 Racist.
Just duplicated this on three phones. Other people are able to duplicate it. It may be what updates people have. Some people are not duplicating it. Sean, you did it on your phone.
Yep.
No joke. Subliminal programming. Absolutely disgusting. Well, at least Apple's moving back to the U.S., but this is just some programmers inside there doing that. But again, it's all AI garbage.
So Alex Jones got inundated, and he says, primarily by conservatives calling him a liar, and said that he was programmed his phone to do it. Aaron can't even do that.
No.
Okay, you have to be, I mean, Aaron's about as good as it gets in tech, but I'm just telling you, even Aaron can't reprogram a phone to say racist whenever you say, or put Trump down whenever it says racist. I mean, your level of knowledge for that particular device would have to be literally at manufacturing level. And people are accusing him of programming the device to do so and calling him a liar for hours and hours and hours and hours. You know what you should do? It's the same thing that I had to learn with Trump, is just wait. Like I told you, wasn't happy with the OpenAI. What's the name again? Sam Bankman?
Sam Altman.
Larry Ellison. And Larry Ellison. I was not happy that Trump wouldn't, but now I know why he's doing it, because he's using them to leverage Apple into mass investments in the United States. It's brilliant. It's brilliant stuff. So I just had to learn I learned in about 2016, about 2017, getting mad over some Trump was doing, just wait. And same thing with Alex Jones. Listen, 99.9% of the time, Alex Jones is correct. He really is. He's absolutely correct. And if everybody would have just waited, but people send all sorts of nasty messages to him. I'm wondering where all the retractions are, because when I was listening to the show, which is later on, because that was about 8 o'clock in the morning, this came out, I was listening to Alex Jones' 11 o'clock in the morning show. Nobody retracted yet. You see, if I had said something like, you're a liar, you're a piece of crap, then I would have said back, listen, I'm really sorry I said that. Nobody ever retracts, even conservatives. Nobody retracts anything. Again, I don't mean to be overly redundant with this. I'm just waiting for the mass retractions about COVID from all the COVID-caving pastors and COVID-caving conservatives that say you're wrong for closing down, standing 6 feet apart, wearing a mask, and telling everybody you were virtuous for doing so. I'm just waiting for all the retractions that 5 years into 15 days to flatten the curve never come. So here was the exoneration of Alex Jones. Go to the next for me, Heather. Disclosed TV tweet. Just then, Apple says it is addressing the issue as iPhone's voice to text feature periodically shows Trump when user says racist. Fox News. And again, I'm just wondering, has anybody sent a retraction to Alex Jones? Absolutely not. Not a one. You were wrong. If I was wrong, I'd send a retraction. Just like when I've been wrong on this show, I come on the show and I tell you that I was wrong.
Yep.
That's what you do. That's what's called having a soul. That's what's called being an honest human being. Most people aren't. Even a lot of conservatives aren't. It's sad. It's pathetic, actually. And God can't stand lying. Revelation 21:8. All right, let's go to the next one. Inevitable West tweet on Apple. Apple surrenders, just so you know what kind of people they are. You're like, yeah, but they're investing $500 billion. I know they're investing $500 billion because it's politically expedient to do so. They need to get on the gravy train to compete with OpenAI, to compete with Ellison. They need to be nice to Trump because they've done all they can to sabotage Trump for years. But now they need to be nice to Trump because otherwise they could lose a large market share, even though they're the largest company on the planet. Breaking, Apple surrenders to the labor government and removes highest level data security tool for Apple users. The government now has access to its citizens' messages and cameras. That's a great sign for Great Britain, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly what you want, is the government to be able to access, which is the point of all of this, by the way, is to get, these are all precursors for the mark of the beast. You better be able to draw the line when time comes, which most people didn't, as we saw, because if the globalist plan came to fruition 5 years ago, 15 days to flatten the curve, everybody right now would have a quantum dot tattoo on their forehead or on their right hand. The rapture would have already occurred, just so you know. But there were some of us, 985 people that are watching, however many people that are watching on Christian TV, that didn't cave or have repented of caving. We're the ones who actually held back the Antichrist spirit by not caving to COVID, and then which launched into vaccines and vaccine passports. We can't buy, sell, trade, or travel. And just remember, you saw Ursula von der Leyen, my all-time favorite video. Ursula von der Leyen, I just got my COVID pass. My vaccine passport. Remember how excited she was? She could travel Europe. That was the point of it all. Is globalist control. This, they want to be able to access. Again, it's all about leveraging into one world commerce system with a single access point. And so the reason why there's a climate hoax is so that everybody goes to electricity, which they can control and turn off. That's all about who's at the spigot. That's all that this life is about. Who's at the spigot? They want to get it to a place where they can turn your life on and off as they see fit. It's the point of the California fires. That's the point of the Maui fires. That's the point of the climate hoax. That's the point of the COVID hoax. That's the point of the vaccine hoax. That's the point of CBDC currency. It's the point of it all. And now here in the labor government, imagine being a citizen of Great Britain. You want the government to have access to your phone? They actually do, though, because they keep voting these politicians in. This is the biggest breach of privacy Western civilization has ever seen. Britain is in big trouble. Yeah, Britain is in huge trouble. If the Muslims don't get them, their own government will. All right, let's go to the next one. Bostonians against mayor. Here we go. This is why we need the border secured. Play for me.
21-year-old Colombian national Robert Rodriguez Melendez in court accused of rape, the victim, a woman waiting for her food to be delivered by a female Uber Eats driver. The woman in the driver's profile, allegedly his own mother.
When the delivery driver arrived, it was a male party rather than the female party listed on the delivery driver's profile. The driver did not speak English, but told the named victim that she needed a four-digit code in order to complete the delivery.
That's when trouble started. The victim allegedly let him in out of the cold and called her Spanish-speaking friend on a three-way call to Uber tech support.
At some point during the call, the man gained possession of the victim's phone and disconnected the call.
The hang-up led to horror. Eventually, the rape in a nearby bathroom ended apparently due to the victim's Spanish-speaking friend calling her incessantly.
She reported that she picked up her phone, called Miss Maldonado back, and asked her to tell the suspect to leave.
Days after he fled the attack, police tracked the illegal immigrant down. His case moved from district to superior court. Prosecutors want him behind bars.
So the Uber Eats driver accused of raping a woman in Rotherham, Massachusetts, of course, which is a sanctuary state, is legally alien from Colombia, showed up, wasn't the Uber driver that she was supposed to get. He didn't match the description of the woman who's supposed to be the Uber driver. And then he raped the customer. You know, and again, an illegal alien. With this rape would not have occurred. And again, the Democrat response would be, rapes happen all the time. Oh, really? Well, that one specifically would never have happened if this idiot wasn't allowed in the country. There you go. Life is actually very simple. Yes, rapes would happen to be a lot less rapes if we didn't allow rapists in the country. Doesn't that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make sure. All right. Ian Miles Strong tweet. Here's the Trump opposition. It's pathetic. The Trump opposition, what we're facing right now, is actually pathetic and actually laughable. It's unbelievable. A federal judge is mandating that Trump, a federal judge is mandating the Trump administration distribute millions of dollars to various foreign nonprofit organizations. How can a federal judge order the Trump administration to spend money in foreign countries? How does that even freaking work? And how can you rejoice at this if you're a Democrat? Because what will happen when we refer you to our judges? I mean, again, how do you not see this boomeranging on you? And if you want to play these games, we can play these games too, and then order your next president to distribute our money to where we want it distributed at. How do you not see it bouncing back on you? Just like expanding the Supreme Court. We're going to expand it to 50. Okay, then we'll expand it to 22. And you're going to expand it to 29. Okay, when you're in world, we'll expand it to 50. How do you not see this if you're a Democrat? How can you be so stupid? It's amazing. Yes, you have to be stupid to be a Democrat. You really do. Foreign nonprofit organizations ruling over the Trump administration, the executive branch. Judiciary has no power over the executive. Ruling that the administration breached a temporary restraining order from 2 weeks ago concerning the suspension of foreign aid. Didn't have the right to issue the injunction from 2 weeks ago. During an extended hearing on Tuesday, there it is. Remember strike one? Judge Amir Ali, strike one, strike two, strike three, appointed during the Biden administration, sharply criticized Trump administration's lawyers for not compensating. So we have a judge, some goofy judge from a state somewhere. Admonishing Trump's attorneys for not spending money in foreign countries. Compensating the groups for their efforts before President Trump's January 20 executive order, which halted all foreign aid for 90 days. Ali also issued an order upholding the temporary restraining order he had signed on February 13, mandating that the groups receive payment by 11:59 Wednesday. You know what you have to do here? What do you have to do? Not do it. It's over, folks. You have to blow this off. I know Trump has said, it's strategically a good thing to do to say, you know what, I'm going to obey these judges, but eventually you're going to have to draw a line, maybe not here, but very soon, because you can't keep spending money because a leftist judge, and again, it keeps getting found out that basically everybody who's against Trump is tied to the money that they are making him either unfree so they keep getting it, Or whatever it is that keeps the cash flow going to them, because most of these people are tied to these NGOs, which we're going to deep dive into in just a minute in Doge. One of the judges that ruled in one of the Trump cases about unfreezing the frozen money was because his daughter was part of a teacher's group that got NGO money that's funded by the federal government. So he unfroze the money to pay his own daughter. That's what everything is about. And again, before we get into Doge, That's what the entire United States, listen, we want to be the right out of Gladiator, a dream that was Rome. Rome will be a republic. We're supposed to be a republic, but we're not. We're not. We're an oligarchy dispensing money to political friends. That is it. That's what we are. Trump's changing it, but that is what we currently are. Basically, what happens is NGOs are formed and then that benefit exclusively Democrats. They hire Democrats to run the NGOs at exorbitant salaries. The NGOs then donate to Democratic causes or form and other NGOs, which again are populated exclusively by Democrats that are running that NGO. And then they gave that money to Democratic Party campaigns, which goes to the wives or spouses of the candidates in the campaigns. That's what's going on. They enrich themselves with our taxpayer dollars. Again, I don't know if there's even one legit leftist billionaire. Because are they legit? Do they actually make the money through capitalistic means? Or do they get it from you and I through taxpayer dollars, through NGOs? And then accumulated large sums of money and maybe then bought a business after getting all the money that they got from running an NGO. That's what's actually happening. All right, go to the next one for me. Libs of TikTok tweet. Here's another one. Breaking Judge Lauren Alekin, there we go, strike two. A Biden appointee just blocked Trump from freezing billions of federal aid. We need to see who she's tied to with NGOs. Calling his spending cuts breathtaking. Why? Who cares if they're breathtaking? Imagine being on the side of not cutting spending right now when you're $37 trillion in debt. And siding with left-wing nonprofits, which are all for-profits, because while they don't make any, they don't actually produce anything. The people who are running those NGOs, it's like the Clinton Foundation where they're dispensing, they received $40 million, gave away $5 million of the $40 million, so it cost them $35 million to give away $5 million. That's the whole game. So while they're nonprofits in that, they don't actually make a profit. They don't actually produce anything to make a profit. The people being paid to run the NGOs certainly are making a large profit. So I had to go back to this one. I can never miss an opportunity to put on Hank Johnson. I cannot do it. And he made it, put himself in the news again today. I'll skip that. Let's go right to Hank Johnson. Western Lensman video. Democrat Hank Johnson, who once thought the island of Guam would tip over and capsize, suggests that he wants U.S. Marshals to actually arrest Donald Trump. Western Lensman video. Play for me.
If a president willfully failed or refused to comply with a court ruling, they could be held in contempt of court theoretically, but it would be up to the U.S. Marshals Service, which is a part of the Justice Department, to be the enforcement arm for the federal courts. Is that correct?
Your hypothetical would have to play itself out.
It would be the U.S. Marshals who fall under the Department of Justice who would have to carry out the contempt order. And so what would happen if the U.S. Marshals Service, under the command of the Justice Department at the direction of the president, refused to carry out a court order of contempt? What would then be the state of our democracy?
I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
That's an elected member of Congress. And like, Tom, I know it's years old, but he keeps getting reelected. Who's dumber, him or the person that elects him? He's talking about Trump being arrested by U.S. Marshals and Elon Musk Doge blocked from accessing sensitive Education Department and OPM records by Biden judge, most extensive block on Doge's activities. Yet, just in, Obama judge blocks Trump administration from conducting ICE raids at some churches. How are you able to unilaterally make these judgment calls, pun intended, on executive branch activities? How in the world are you allowed to put out these dictates coming from the bench, where you can just unilaterally from the bench say Trump can't conduct ICE raids at some churches? Which churches? Is he allowed at Episcopal churches but not Pentecostal churches? Catholic churches but not Lutheran churches? You're going to make up all of these arbitrary rules from the bench? I thought the bench was to interpret laws that are already in place, not make law, which is exactly what they're doing right now. And if Trump, according to Hank Johnson, who thinks Guam could tip over if you put too much weight on it, that's how stupid of a human being he is. He thinks that if Trump doesn't obey any of these dictates, that he can be arrested by U.S. Marshals, the very U.S. Marshals that Trump's in charge of. Good luck with that. All right, I got to show you more opposition. Here's Swalwell. Swallowswell. Nick Sorter video, breaking exclusive. Eric Swalwell panics when I ask about his Chinese spy girlfriend, Fang Fang. Play for me.
So, Congressman, you referred to Elon Musk as a fascist at some point and alluded to him being a national security threat. Do you see that more of a national security threat, you sleeping with a Chinese spy, than transparency in the federal government? What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that? What's Fang Fang think of that?
What are you doing?
So the Golden State Warriors.
Go down.
I mean, what's fascistic about exposing government corruption? I mean, I know you're just at dinner now with a bunch of lobbyists. You know, they're buying you a bunch of booze, and you know that's awfully nice. I know you were talking about, you know, maybe finding somebody else because you only like to people that are tens. I just heard that one too. So what do you think about that? Do you want to comment on any of it? Elon Musk is a national security threat, but you sleeping with a Chinese spy is not. Is that correct? You don't want to comment on that at all? Looks like guilty as charged.
It's always funny that the people who are the greatest national security threats themselves always accuse somebody else of being a national security threat, just to call you a racist when they're a racist themselves. Call you a Nazi when they're a Nazi themselves. Aaron just brought up, of course, you had Dianne Feinstein's driver for 20 freaking years. 20 years was a confirmed CCP spy. And Eric Swallowswell, his girlfriend Fang Fang, as soon as she was exposed, because the FBI decided to do their job for at least 1 second in time, as soon as she was exposed, she flew right back to China, hasn't been seen since. confirmed CCP spy. And I'm just wondering something too, just a little observation. How in the world does he afford a driver? Why does he have a driver? I mean, here's the thing. The man makes somewhere between $147,000 and $174,000 a year. How can he have a driver and all these people around him? How does that work? Is that all the NGO money too? I mean, you're like, Tom, you're big into this. Listen, you trace where all this NGO money actually goes. When Trump was talking about in the pregame, going after the pro bono attorneys in the Jack Smith case, because he said, even though it's pro bono, is it really pro bono? Or do they get money through NGOs from the federal government the entire year? They do. Millions upon millions of dollars. That's what happens through NGOs. We're going to use, there's an NGO, the Greater DC NGO. Well, we're going to hire this law firm. Yeah, like Fannie Willis hires Nathan Wade. We're going to hire this law firm and we're going to pay him, $1,000 an hour for two straight years. So they walk away $30 million, but they did it all that. And then later on they do pro bono work for some other Democratic Party NGO organization or for Jack Smith, but they were already paid off via an NGO. That's how it's all working. Here's another one who would be opposition to the Trump agenda. The governor of the great state of Wisconsin, which did actually vote for Donald Trump. This is what he has passion about. Tony Evers, when he gets up in the morning, what he thinks about are these things. This is what he has great passion about. And this is Wisconsin budget recommendation for 2025 through 27. What does this have to do with the budget? But this is what Tony Evers has great passion about. Word previously used, wife or husband, he wants to change to spouse. Word previously used for mother, changed to inseminated person. Word previously used, paternity, changed to patronage. Word previously used, father, will be now changed to natural parent. Word previously used, man or woman, is going to be changed to person. This is what he wakes up and he's passionate about in life. This is our opposition. And now here's another. Go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, how is that not offensive that the mother is the inseminated person and the dad is the natural parent? That's so offensive.
I honestly, I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. And speaking of opposition, well, now we have the Republicans in Congress putting together a budget. And there's only four of them that are against it. I know it's massive because I got this video here. Tim Burch, it's another one. I don't know who the other two are. But anyway, so you have the people who actually care about fiscal responsibility are against this budget that's going to end up going across Trump's desk because it will be approved in Congress and probably be approved in the Senate. But so you're thinking, well, Mike Johnson, now that, you've seen him with Trump, you've seen him, I mean, he couldn't be more puckered up and surgically attached to the rear end of Donald Trump, credit Dan Bongino. He couldn't have shined Trump boots anymore with his tongue. But is he really actually doing MAGA things? Is he legislating MAGA things? Is he legislating fiscally responsible things? Is he actually doing that now that he's a Trumpster? Now that he's a MAGA guy? Absolutely not. Gunther Eagleman video breaking: Thomas Massie announced he will vote no on the Republican-sponsored spending bill. Play it for me.
Yeah. Can you just talk to us? Are you still a no? Is there anything?
They convinced me in there. I'm a no.
Is there anything?
Look, let me, their own numbers. If the Republican plan passes under the rosiest assumptions, which aren't even true, we're going to add $328 billion to the deficit this year. We're going to add $295 billion to the deficit the year after that, and $242 billion to the deficit after that, under the rosiest assumptions. Why would I vote for that?
So are you solidly a no?
Yeah, they convinced me. I was a lean no until this meeting. No,
and then
no.
This no confirms.
This is a no.
Why? What? Why?
They're talking points. Look. These are not something I made up. This is the leadership's talking points. It adds $328 billion to the deficit. It adds $295 billion to the deficit the year after that. The only way they get to this magic thing, where it's not going to kill our country, is 5 years from now, they imagine that 2.5% growth accumulates and that Even right here, they say they're going to cap discretionary spending. You think we're going to cap discretionary spending and then spend at the rate of inflation after that? That has never happened. So their assumptions are wrong. But even if you take their assumptions at face value, they told us in there they're going to increase the deficit in 2025 by $328 billion. And I've been here long enough. I've been here 12 years. So I've seen a 10-year plan or two come all the way to 10 years. Under Boehner, we had these 10-year plans. Under Ryan, we had these 10-year plans. Anything past the third year never happens.
Mr. Speaker, will the budget resolution are you planning to pass today?
Yes, that's the plan.
All right, so there goes Mike Johnson. Again, here's the stats on it. If this budget is passed this year alone, every single thing that Elon Musk has done so far will be evaporated times three. It'll add $328 billion to the debt this year. How is this Republican? And the excuse will be, well, we have to do it now. Okay, how many of you are in the chat are over 50 years of age and you've heard we have to do it now to sustain the economy, to sustain the government, whatever it may be, to sustain our level of living, whatever it may be. How many more years are we going to do this? Because look at the national debt. And we just spent another 100,000. And we just spent another 100,000. And we just spent another 100,000. And we just spent another million in the last 19 seconds. Every 19 to 22 seconds, we spend $1 million right now, even under Donald Trump, because it's still Biden's economy right now, four weeks and 3 days into the Trump presidency. This budget from conservatives adds $328 billion to the debt this year. To that right there, $328 billion right there after the 36. So it goes right to $37 trillion if you pass this. And then $295 billion next year. And then they have all of these Potomac two steps. If the economy grows, then it'll only be that we spent $245 billion at if the economy grows to 2.5% GDP, then we only add $245 billion in year three. And then we're cutting all these different expenditures. And Ron DeSantis put out a great tweet about what government cuts actually mean. They never mean they're actually cutting anything. They're cutting the rate of increase. That's all they ever do. So instead of increasing the budget by 40%, we're increasing it by 39.5%. Look at, we cut it by five. They'll say we cut the budget by 0.5%. They didn't. They cut the rate of growth. They didn't cut the budget at all. They cut the increase of money that they're putting into the budget. That's all they did. So this is going to fund. I had Aaron give me a little list here. This is going to continue to fund luxury hotels for illegal immigrants, overpriced Pentagon coffee cups, Sesame Street in Iraq, diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI contracts, manual retirement processing in a limestone mine, extravagant COVID relief spending by schools, overcharged soap dispensers for the Air Force, foreign aid for dubious projects, EPA's DEI and environmental justice contracts, Department of Education research grants. What does this do for any of us ever except personally enrich the people who are passing this budget? It doesn't do anything for us. None of this does anything for us. And we don't even want a handout. We want this to stop. Because eventually this will kill your country. Not the sexy stuff. This will do it. $36 trillion. Let's do it here. Oh, right there at the bottom. There it is. Aaron, put us on the clock. And add like 2 seconds.
All right.
There it is. Let's look. Watch a million get spent. Ready? There goes another 100,000. There goes 100,000. Because right now we're at $36 trillion. $526 billion, $562 million, and now we're about to go to $563 million right about now.
19 seconds.
19 seconds again. Yep. $1 million. And that what are the Republicans doing? No, they want to add $328 billion to this debt. How is that Republican in any way, shape, or form? How dare you not call me a Republican? Because you have no traits of being a Republican. Just like I call people who call themselves Christians, non-Christians, I'll call them heretics. I'll call them apostates because they have absolutely no characteristics of the Bible implemented in their life. So you're not a Christian. You can call yourself a Republican. You can call yourself a Christian all you want. That's why in Psalm 138:2, it says God has magnified his word above all his name. Because if you have... Your Christianity depends on, are you just, you have the Republican platform and you have the Bible, right? So if you're a Republican, then you have to be abiding by fiscal conservatism. That's part of the platform. If you call yourself a Christian, then you have to have the biblical traits that are required of a Christian. But if you don't have any of those things, then how are you a Christian? How are you a Republican? How's Mike Johnson a Christian? He claims to be both. How's he a Christian when he funds Planned Parenthood year after year after year after year? How is that? How in the world are you a Christian? And how in the world are you a conservative when you want to add $328 billion to the debt? And they'll say, well, we have to do it right now. Why? Because you might lose your job. We expect you to lose your job. These are supposed to be, they should be term limited jobs to begin with, but we expect you to throw yourself on your sword and lose your job. We expect you to be a conservative at the detriment of your political career. We expect that. Donald Trump does it. We expect you to do it. You shall be a conservative. And according to Aaron, there's only one person who voted against this. And that was Thomas Massie himself.
Yep.
How pathetic is that? How pathetic. Absolutely disgusting. Let me do a couple minutes of Doge here. Let's go to the next one. Francois, Aaron, keep that dead clock handy because you know we're going back. Francois Leclerc video. Did Elon Musk and Trump just expose the federal payroll scam? Play it for me.
Ducey joins us with the detail. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. The response rate was pretty low to that email, considering that the Office of Personnel Management told the people that they manage federal workers they did not have to reply to it. It was optional to send back five things that they did last week. And so now Elon Musk is saying the email request was utterly trivial, as the standard for passing the test was to type some words and press send. Yet, so many failed even that inane test, urged on in some cases by their managers. Have you ever witnessed such incompetence and contempt for how your taxes are being spent? Makes old Twitter look good. Didn't think that was possible. And so this is what's coming next. Musk says, subject to the discretion of the president, they, federal workers, will be given another chance. Failure to respond a second time will result in termination. And Musk and President Trump are alleging that federal payrolls are not as they seem.
So what?
All right, so there you go. Now, I'm rushing this a little bit. It's a longer video, but I wanted to get some other stuff. What really is happening is there's lots of people on the books, on the payroll books, that aren't working and are actually not even living in the country. That's what's happening. Listen, it wasn't about, again, I didn't really think of these terms. There's too many stories to actually think through every story. But the reason why they sent this email out was not to fire people and not even to see if people respond. It was to see if they respond, to see if this is an actual legitimate person. Trump knows already. He already knows that there is a large portion of the workforce and a large portion of those people receiving Social Security money and Medicaid and Medicare who don't exist. Again, another giant NGO that's not called an NGO, and that money is going to enrich people somewhere. He knows that. He already knows it. So this is simply to expose people. Now, this doesn't make sense, who don't exist. That's what it's about. So the person won't send you back an email who doesn't exist. I mean, again, who wouldn't send back an email on this? Anybody could conjure up an email. It'll take you 5 minutes to conjure up an email. So all you do is put down five things and then put your supervisor's name down. That's all you do. But people didn't do it because how many of them actually exist? If you have 300-year-olds receiving Social Security checks, and there's only one 300-year-old who actually receives a Social Security check who's older than the United States of America, he's older than the Republic. Okay, then how many fraudulent workers? When you have, I can't remember the numbers now, 3 million people who are 120 to 129, 3 million people who are 130 to 139 receiving Social Security checks. Then how many federal workers are receiving checks that don't exist or who don't work ever? They're just simply receiving a check because they're a Democrat. And they were promised that job. Again, it's always bribery and they're getting money. All they do is get a job. They don't show up for it. It's just permanent. It's permanent income for doing nothing. It's, for all intents and purposes, a bribe and extreme fraudulent corruption. But, and by the way, a lot of this is absolute felonious crimes. It's fraud. It's absolute fraud. It's fraud to receive a Social Security check if you're not the person who's supposed to receive it. That's fraud. It's fraud to conjure up a fake identity and receive a Social Security check or a payroll check from the federal government. Oh, thank you. And there it is. These are the people receiving Social Security checks. There's 1,345,083 people who received a Social Security check that are 150 and 159 years of age. Look at the one down there, 369 years old, and gets a Social Security check. 249 years old gets a Social Security check. 1,039 people who are 229 years old get a Social Security check. 866 people who are 219 years old get a Social Security check. 879 people who are 209 years old get a Social Security check. 448 people who are 199 years old get a Social Security check. 695 people who are 189 years old get a Social Security check. 6,087 people who are 179 years old get a Social Security check. 121,000 people who are 169 years of age get a Social Security check. 1.3 million who are 159 years of age get a Social Security check. That's why they're doing this, and they're exposing it. Let me show you this one. Project Constitution tweet. Is that where I'm at? Where am I at here?
Elon Musk.
Oh, you're right. I'm wrong. The DOGE Department Agency Leadership Board shows progress within the government so the public can see for themselves who is making the most or least progress. He's just putting it up. What's wrong with that? Fox News making a range. DOGE is launching an agency efficiency leadership board. So Trump is just simply showing who's cutting the most. I mean, Musk and Trump are simply showing who's cutting the most and putting it out for all to see. Imagine having a political platform where you're against transparency. That's who the Democrats are. Go to the next one for me. Project Constitution tweet. Bombshell, Pentagon officials caught using taxpayer-funded credit cards at casinos, bars, and nightclubs. Aren't you glad for it? You mean, maybe you're somebody, you're one of the ones that Kevin O'Leary was talking about making $68,000 a year, which is good. I'm not belittling that in any way, shape, or form. That's what I made for most of my life. I'm just telling you, that's what you're making. And you're like, you're sitting at your kitchen table, coming up with a budget with your wife. And then all of the, because somewhere, no matter how much money you make, 20 to 40% of your money is taken by either the federal government or local government into taxes that don't benefit you in any way, shape, or form, but they are being spent at casinos, bars, and clubs. Listen to this. You can just leave this up, guys. This is an article, the article from Project Constitution. Bombshell report, Pentagon officials caught using taxpayer-funded credit cards at casinos, bars, and nightclubs, totaling $1.3 billion.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
And Democrats want this hidden. Imagine being a Democrat right now, and you don't want this exposed. You want this to continue. That's your political platform that you're running on. They go on these talking head shows. They go on CNN. They say, we this is a threat to America, exposing that $1.3 billion was spent at casino bars and nightclubs by Pentagon officials as a threat to America. That is now your political stance. That's the hill you're going to die on. That's your platform, that you don't want this exposed and you want this to continue. And somehow this is a threat to America. How's it a threat to America? And they keep saying that Trump and Elon are benefiting financially. Show me on paper how they're benefiting financially. How? Elon's $400 million Tesla contract that Biden gave him, and he hasn't gotten a contract since. And by the way, that one contract, what did Trump say about it? Trump is now going to put it up for, what do you call it, bids. He's going to put it up for bids. So he's actually taking it from Elon. So Elon's done nothing but lose $400 million since he's worked for Doge. Washington, D.C., a scathing new audit from the Department of Defense, again from Project Constitution here. Department of Defense Inspector General has blown the lid off a jaw-dropping scandal. Pentagon officials have been using taxpayer-funded credit cards to bankroll gambling sprees. Well, that makes me feel good. Bar tabs and late-night parties at nightclubs. While Americans scrape by amid soaring costs, the brass of the DOD have been living large on your dime. Isn't that great? Taxpayer money down the drain. The audit zeroes in on government travel charge card GTCC program designed to cover official travel expenses for DOD personnel. Instead, and there's where it all adds up right here. Instead, it's become a slush fund for reckless spending. Get this one ready. $387,000 blown at casinos and mobile app stores. Think slot machines and Candy Crush, courtesy of taxpayers. $112,000 racked up at bars, lounges, and nightclubs with spikes during holidays and big games like the Super Bowl. A staggering $3.9 million worth of transactions left unchecked, A staggering $3.9 million transactions worth $1.2 billion left unchecked because no one bothered to look. Isn't that great? Gosh, dog, is it really 10:19?
Yeah.
All right, I got to show you one thing before I go. All right, guys, Aaron, help her out. Go skip ahead to that Libs of TikTok tweet. Bombshell. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. That's the one I got to show you because this is the embodiment of it all. This is the epitome of it all. Bombshell, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse backed legislation that funneled millions to his wife's environmental nonprofit. Again, that's what the United States is all about. We want to go fight for democracy when we're not a democracy ourselves. We want to go fight for democracy in a country that's not a democracy, in Ukraine. Because all that the entire country is about people like Sheldon Whitehouse, who simply use their political positions, their elected positions, to enrich themselves. That's it, by the way. There is, statistically speaking, outside of the Trumps of the world, outside of the Masseys of the world, the Rand Pauls of the world, there are no exceptions. Republican or Democrat, they're all just like this. And I love the Republican platform, and I've always voted Republican. And always will, unless there's some sort of viable third-party option that's better than Republican. But this is the absolute epitome of it all. So Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat from, of course, Rhode Island, which is where one of the judges are, that blocked some of Trump's financial accountability initiatives. Backed legislation that funneled millions to his wife's environmental nonprofit, Ocean Conservancy. She's been paid $2.7 million while the group raked in $14.2 million in federal grants funded by bills White House voted for. So he voted for bills that financed the NGO that paid his wife $2.7 million. That's what it's all about, is forming NGOs and using our taxpayer dollars to finance the NGOs and then having those NGOs, the employees of those NGOs, the people who run the NGOs, the CEOs of the NGOs, are all Democrats getting paid exorbitant salaries, and then they form another NGO, and then they pay them, other Democrats, exorbitant salaries to run that NGO. And then they bring in Democratic speakers to talk to the NGO and pay them exorbitant speaker fees. And then they do campaign contributions to Democratic Party politicians who, again, like Ilhan Omar, paid $3.1 million to her own husband for consultancy fees. That's what it's all about in the United States. That's it. Really is. And that's why you got to have DOGE in full transparency. Imagine being against it. All right, 1021. That's good. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad comes through with $100. Thank you so much, Nate Dad. Texas Billy, my friend. He is actually a really good friend of mine. $50. Pumpkin Drifting on Wood, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.